Tonight we're going to have a good time, and we're going to get you excited about hospitality and friendship. And when I wrote the book, Things Happen When Women Care, it was a book that was written because of you, because of women like yourselves all over the country who have a heart for their home and who say, I really want to have a heart for my home. I really want to care, but I just don't have time. And so I began to think, if we can give you the tools and the excitement, things will happen because women do care. And the first chapter in the book, I talk about when we begin to care about God, what begins to happen in our lives, how our lives begin to change. And we saw this couple, and as they shared, they loved God in such a mighty way, and they believed that God would bring them a child. And what did he do? He blessed them with not one, but with two children. Things happen when women care about God. Things happen when women care to clean, and we talked about cleaning and how to do that and how to do it quickly, and so that we'll have more hours to do some of the other things that we want to do. And then things happen when women care to touch another life and to reach out. I was in Ohio, and I was doing a seminar there, and I was staying in a home, and it was the home of a Mennonite family. Now, the Amish families don't have electricity, and the Mennonites can have electricity, but they don't drive real fancy cars because they don't want to be real showy, so they either paint their bumpers black or they take off the bumpers of the car. And so they're real plain people, but oh, are they beautiful people. And this family was going to be moving in a few days, and so I said to the hostess, I said, you know, I love to move. I love to pack. Let me help you pack. And she said, oh, no, you can't do that. And I said, oh, please, I really want to help you pack. I love to do that. She says, well, let me tell you what happens around here. She said, on moving day, there will probably be 25 families at our door. The Amish will have their wagons with pulling their horses pulling them, and we'll have some trucks, and they'll all come to our door, and the men will drop off the women, and the women will come in the house, and they will begin to pack up our whole house. And the men then go on over to the other house that we're going to be moving in, and they move in, and they do everything. They repair it, they paint it, they shampoo the carpet, they do whatever has to be done to get that house just right. And then about noon, they'll come back over and they'll pick up the women, load all the boxes into their trucks and into their flatbeds, and take all the pictures off of the walls and dismantle all the beds, and then go over to the other house, and we will all go over there together. And they will begin then to take the boxes out, and the women will begin to unpack the boxes, and the men will hang the pictures, and the men will put up the beds. And there will be a group of women who will care for the children. There'll be another group of women who are in the kitchen, and they'll be preparing a meal. And then as the day goes on and evening begins to come, those other women will take our children, will bathe them, put them in their jammies, get the beds all made, have everything all ready. And about 6 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night, we will gather around our table as a family. Everything will be totally done. The house will be totally put away, and we will have a family meal together. See, things happen when women care. She said, not only that, but if someone gets pregnant, she said, you can believe with a few days after the word is out, there will be 6 or 7, maybe 8 or 9 women at her front door with portable sewing machines. They will come in and they will make her a complete maternity wardrobe in one day. Things happen when women care. Well, it truly is the heart of the home. You see, we need a little bit more of that. No, we're not going to do it in exactly that way, but we need a little bit more of that. And when we begin to care, something really exciting begins to happen. We begin to have a spirit of loveliness. And that's why this book was written. And I walked out there this afternoon, and I saw all those little settings that this church family has put together depicting the different chapters of this book, and you are to be commended. It is beautiful. Little did I know in any way that this book would have the meaning that it has in the hearts of so many who have picked it up and enjoyed it. The first chapter in the book, I talk about the spirit of welcome, and I welcome you into our home. And I want you to feel when you read this chapter that you are actually in our home. The line drawings in the book are taken from actual settings in our home. So when you see the pictures in the book, you are seeing places in our home. We live in right off the 91 freeway. Now, Barbara will know I'm talking about. And on one of the busiest freeways in Southern California, we live 1 mile from the freeway on an acre and a half of property. And we live in a barn, a converted barn. Our name is Barn, so we thought it would be fun someday to live in a barn. And we live in this barn, and we have, avocado trees and orange trees and palm trees and eucalyptus. Beautiful, beautiful trees. And we have this house that's 50 years old set right in the middle of the city on this acre and a half of property. And we have chickens, and it's just like a little farmhouse. It's just wonderful. It's a barn. And so I talk about that, and I welcome you into our home. I want you to feel the feel of our home. See, our home is very country. It's probably not anything like you would expect someone who's kind of an organizational freak to live in. It's very homey, and it's very comfortable. And then the next chapter is the spirit of creativity. You see, women, God has given all of us creativity. And the things I'm going to show you in a few minutes, I want you to go home and I want you to copy them, because you have creativity. You're going to do it a little bit different than I've done it. You're probably going to do it a lot better than I've even done it. But I want to stimulate that creativity in your heart, which God has given each and every one. The spirit of femininity. We are feminine beings. We are created by God. You see, we are women. We are different than men. Now, it doesn't mean that because we are feminine, we have to wear bows in our hair and lace and ruffles. I have seen women in a business suit who have femininity. You see, the spirit of femininity comes from within. It's what we feel. It's how we feel. What can we do to create in us that spirit of femininity? I'll give you a little spirit lifter. Go into the bathroom and close the door and turn out all the lights, and fill your bathtub with bubbles and water, and light a candle, and spray a little perfume or throw a little perfume in your bathtub, and then take your Bible or a magazine or a book and just douse yourself in femininity as you crawl into that tub. And when you come out, you will be a new woman, a woman that has femininity. You see, we need a little bit more of being a woman who God has created in us. We are so busy, we move so fast, that we need to stop. And the spirit of stillness. The chapter is that we need to be quiet and we need to be still. We need to go into our little prayer closet. And we need to talk to God, and we need to cry to God, and then we need to open God's Word and allow Him to speak to us in the stillness and in the quietness. It may be in your front yard or your backyard. It may be in the bathroom. It may be in the closet. It may be by the fireplace. It may be in the kitchen. Find that little place where it's still, where you can soak in the presence of the Lord Himself. And then the spirit of the garden, I think it's one of my most favorite chapters. We have a garden on our property, and every Valentine's Day, my Bob plants for me a package of sweet peas. And it's so much fun to watch those little plants begin to pop up and wind around the string that he has put over the little arbor there. And pretty soon the stems shoot out and the blossoms begin to bloom from those stems. And at first I'll only pick one or two or three, and I'll bring them in the house and put them in a little jar, a little vase, and I'll set them somewhere in the house. And before long, I'm picking more and more and more. And as I pick them, and as I bring them into the house, and I smell the fragrance, it says so many things to me. First of all, I'm bringing God's garden into our home. And then I have an opportunity to say to my Bob, thank you, Bob, for the beautiful flowers that you've planted for me in God's garden, and that you are creating in me and stimulating my femininity. And so the spirit of the garden is important. You say, I don't have a garden. Well, you can just get a little pot and put a little few seeds in it or little herbs in it and put it by your kitchen sink or put it by your back door or your front door, or find a little place where you can bring that spirit of the garden into your home, something fresh, something alive, something that you begin to see sprout up and bloom, just as we are sprouting up and we are blooming as women. And then the spirit of the kitchen, the smells and the aromas and the love that comes from the kitchen. When you have company, where does everybody go? They go into the kitchen. Why do they go into the kitchen? Because there's something special that comes from that kitchen. The heart of the home is in that kitchen because you are there and you are being creative with what you do in that kitchen. You're home early. You're home a little bit before your husband comes home. You haven't planned or prepared anything for dinner. So you throw a little bit of cinnamon in some water and you put it in the oven and you turn on the oven. And in about 15 minutes, all of a sudden, the aromas begin to come from the oven. And your husband walks in and he smells that wonderful scent. And he's going to be thinking that you've cooked in the kitchen all afternoon. And all you've done is sprinkled a little cinnamon to give the aroma of the spirit of the kitchen. The spirit of godliness that we as women might present to ourselves next to a woman who has the spirit of godliness. We all know a woman who is that godly woman. That we need to draw and to learn from that woman who has the spirit of godliness in her life. See, I have had several women in my life who have portrayed to me the spirit of godliness. I have been mentored by a woman who has the spirit of godliness. And I am so grateful. I talk in my book about a woman by the name of Bonnie Green. Bonnie Green was the wife of the composer Johnny Green. Bonnie was a showgirl, a model, a beautiful, beautiful woman, and she married this Jewish man. Well, during the process of their marriage and many marital problems and many problems that went on into their lives, she became a Christian and came to know the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. It was right about that time in their life when Johnny was asked to do the composing for the play Oliver. And they went to England, where Bonnie was basically from, and they stayed in a castle for the time that he was going to be composing for Oliver. They were they had a music room at the very top of this castle, about four stories up, where Johnny spent all day with his secretary as he was writing the script and the music for Oliver. And every day, about 4 o'clock, Bonnie would take a tray of tea up the stairs to them for afternoon tea. And one afternoon, as Bonnie was climbing the stairs, and she had her tray with her teacups, and she was about ready to enter the door, and the door of the music room was just open, maybe a foot or two. And as she began to go through the door, she began to hear love talk. And she began to hear her husband and the secretary telling each other in their arms of their love for one another. The Lord said to Bonnie, "Don't go in the door, but turn around and go into your prayer closet." Bonnie's prayer closet was in the bathroom. Many times Bonnie would crawl into the bathtub and pray literally in the bathtub. That was her little prayer closet. And as she got into the prayer closet, the Lord spoke to her mind and her heart and said, "Don't say anything to Johnny until tonight after your dinner." And after dinner was over, she said, "Johnny, I overheard what went on this afternoon, and that's why your tea was not delivered." And he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I love her very much. She's made me laugh more than any woman has ever made me laugh. And if you will give me 4 days with her, I will give you 3 days with you with no questions asked about her." The Lord spoke to Bonnie in her heart and said, "Go for it." For the next 2 years, Bonnie never cried in front of her husband, Johnny. She had a support group she cried with and prayed with, and they prayed with her. And she went into her closet not once a day, not twice a day, but many times during the day into that bathroom, into that bathtub. And she took God's word, and she allowed God to bathe her in His word. And at the end of 2 years, they were ready to come back to America. And as they were packing, Johnny said to her, "Why have you stayed with me for 2 years the way I have treated you?" And she began in the next few moments of just spurting out to him her love for God, her love for him. And he said to her, as she had finished, "Any man would be a fool to leave a woman that loved a man as much as you love me." They came back to America together, and Johnny, that Jewish man, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They had Bible studies in their home in Beverly Hills. They ministered to many, many show people. But every morning, Bonnie Green and Johnny Green had devotions together. And where do you think they had those devotions? In the bathroom. And they would wash each other's feet in the bathtub. They are both in glory with God. Johnny passed away about 3 years ago, and Bonnie passed away last October. The spirit of godliness, a woman who portrayed to me the spirit of godliness. And then the spirit of hospitality. You see, some of you will say, "Well, I can't have anybody in my home. My house is too small. It isn't decorated right. I don't have the right stuff. Nothing matches. Everything looks kind of funky." Well, my mother taught me the spirit of hospitality. In three rooms behind that dress shop, we had in one living room during the day, it was the living room, it was the dining room, it was the sitting room. We did not have decorator fabric on the sofa or the chair. We did not have walls that matched the sofa and the chair, and we didn't have carpeting on the floor that matched anything. We didn't even have carpeting on the floor. We had a few throw rugs. We had a little kitchen, and we had a tiny bathroom. But did that stop my mama from having hospitality? She would befriend a customer in the front of the store. She would come to the back of the store. She would put on the tea kettle. She would pull her two china teacups from the cupboard, put them on the table, and she would invite that customer to come, and she would have hospitality. There was always a candle that was lit, and there were always flowers or ivy or something on the table. And she taught me the spirit of hospitality. When my precious mother moved from three rooms behind the dress shop, she moved in her late years to one tiny efficiency apartment. And in that one room, she had everything in one little tiny room and a little tiny bathroom off to the side, and she had a little hot plate in her one room. Did that stop Mama from having hospitality? No. She always befriended anyone who would come to her door and sit at her table with her teacups and cut her little strudel or her little banana bread, light a candle, and always had something fresh on the table. And then she would open God's word and she would share the Messiah with them. You see, the spirit of hospitality, it doesn't matter what we have. It's the spirit that comes from within that we begin to share. And when we begin to share, then we can have the spirit of celebration. And we begin to celebrate what God has done for us. You see, as I think back of those special little tea parties that I used to have with my mama. And I watched her have those tea parties with her little friends. And when I grew up to be me, I decided I wanted to collect cups and saucers too. And I wanted to have tea parties. And so I would get cups and saucers for my birthday and for Christmas. And I have this wonderful collection of over, 35 or 40 beautiful china cups and saucers. And they're all in an armoire with glass shelves. And they're all sitting there pretty to display. And I taught my daughter how to tea. And I have the wonderful privilege of teaching our little granddaughter who's 10 years old. We've been having tea parties since she was 2. And she comes over to the house after her birthday every July, and we do a whole tea party from beginning to end. We bake the cookies and the scones, and we make the tea, and we put them in the pot, and we do the whole thing. She puts aprons on, and we have a wonderful little tea party. She gets everything ready. And then the last few years, she's invited friends to come over. And she had a little girlfriend come over, and they came in the kitchen, and they made their scones. They had their little aprons on. And we put them on a beautiful little plate, and they decided they wanted to have their tea party out in the... We have a big, huge, I don't know, it must be 60, 70, 80, 90-year-old tree. And Bob has built a tree house around this tree. And they said, Grammy, we want our tea party up in the tree house. And so Papa took the little round children's table, and he set it up in the tree house. And they picked flowers from the garden, and they took a candle, and they set their beautiful little table. And they put their little scones on there, and they had everything was just set. And then I said, now, we've got our table set. We've got everything prepared, and the tea is ready to be put into the pot. But let's take off our aprons, and let's get dressed for our tea party. And so we would go into the bathroom, and then I let them go in Grammy's closet, and I said, pick out whatever you want, and you can put on Grammy's clothes. And, oh, they had so much fun. And they dressed up just like they were a couple of ladies. And then we went into Grammy's makeup, and you see, Grammy lets them do whatever they want to do. And so they just put makeup all over their face and eyelashes, and we had hats on and gloves on and little shoulder bags, and they had their little babies that they were taking to their tea party with them. And then Grammy said, how would you like to pick out a teacup from Grammy's collection? And we went over to the armoire, and they looked at all the teacups, and I told them stories about different ones that I had received as a gift. And Papa gave me this one, and this one was Grammy Irene's. And we began to talk about the teacups. And I said, now you get to choose any teacup you want. And they looked and they looked and they picked out their little teacups. And as they held them in their hand, they started to kind of rattle. I said, they're really fragile, aren't they? And we have to be really careful, don't we? Because they might get broken. And then I said, but if we have an accident and they get broken, you know, it's okay. Because you see, your heart and your life is far more precious to me than a broken teacup. And besides which, one day when Grammy was cleaning her glass shelves, one of the shelves slipped and broke, and Grammy broke 14 of her teacups. So it's okay if a teacup gets broken. And they felt more comfortable, and they took their little teacups, and nothing got broken. And we've done this for several years now, and they took it up to their little tree house, and they poured their tea with their little babies and their candle that was lit and the flowers that were on the table that they had picked. And they ate their scones that they had made, and they smeared jam on it and whipped cream on it, and oh, they just had the best time. And those two little girls chitted and chatted in that treehouse for over an hour, like a couple of ladies. What they talked about, I don't know. And when I walked away from that treehouse that day, and I left those two precious little girls having their tea party, it hit me. And I thought, God, thank you for tea parties. And then I began to realize that in the heart of every woman is a little girl who may have never had a tea party. And so my next book is entitled, Let's Have a Tea Party Soon. And it should be out next July. But you see, women, what begins to happen when we begin to care, things begin to happen. And when they begin to happen, we then begin to have the spirit of loveliness. Those two little girls in that treehouse have the spirit of loveliness, the spirit of femininity. They're learning the spirit of hospitality. We talk about manners. We do all of those little things. And then they're going to be able to grow up and become women who are going to be able to have the spirit to celebrate what they have learned as they have been growing up. As I said earlier, we're not raising one generation, we're raising many generations. And long after Grammy Irene and Grammy Em are gone, the tea parties will go on because the tea parties were taught to those little children. Now, let's talk a little bit about hospitality and setting our table, because you're going to say, well, you know, I really don't have the right things. It doesn't matter what you have. See, I would recommend to any of you that the best thing to have in your home is a set of white dishes, because they go with absolutely everything. You don't even have to think when you put these on the table. I bought these at a little fun store that we have in California, and they're in other states, but I don't believe you have them here, and it's called Pick and Save. And I bought them for $1.49. It's kind of like a great big huge warehouse, and they have all this stuff all over, and you just kind of pick and you save money because it's real, real cheap. And I bought these dishes like for $1.49, and I called my daughter. I said, they've got those great white dishes at Pick and Save. She went and bought them. I called four or five friends. They all went and bought them. Now when I borrow dishes, I know where to go to get them, and they all match. Now, but you might say, well, I don't have them. I don't like them. I can't afford them. Pick and Save's not around here. What am I going to do? Okay, well, let me show you what I do, and then you can kind of go with that and be creative. Now, these are my dishes. When I got them, I decided, now these are kind of my like everyday dishes. I have just white, a whole white set, but I've added a few things to it. So these are kind of like my everyday. So I thought, well, I want to make some tablecloths and napkins and do some fun things with my dishes. Now this is where I began to think the easiest, the cheapest, and the best thing to do is to buy sheets. So I buy sheets to make tablecloths and napkins. Now, the nice thing about sheets is you can get them on sale. They're wash and wear. You never have to touch an iron to them. They fold and stack real easy, so they don't take a lot of room. Now, anytime you buy a sheet, if you get like a twin size sheet, you don't have to do anything to it. You can just throw it on your table, and you have an instant tablecloth just like that. You don't have to hem it. You don't have to do anything. If you want to make napkins to match, then you're going to need a double, a queen, or a king size sheet. Now, anytime you get a border or a ruffle on your sheet, you want to be sure to leave it on. Don't cut it off. You're going to throw it down on the table so that the border is kind of like at the obvious end of the table. So your guests or your family or your children come in, they see that cute little border or ruffle. We have never, ever had guests come into our home, run around to the other side of the table and check it out to see if there's a border on the other end. You just sort of fake it and it works out just fine. Now, here's another sheet. This has a real Victorian look, and I really like this. I bought it, everything I bought on sale. I don't know, it must be my blood or something. I kind of like a bargain. So I took and made the napkins, and I wanted to do something that was kind of a little bit more Victorian looking. So I sewed some lace around the napkins. But let's say I want to do something that's going to be maybe a little bit sportier, then I can take and coordinate with either a plaid or a gingham or a stripe or something of that tone so that I can give it a totally different look if I want to. Then if I notice that in the pattern, it has some black in the pattern. So I can add black napkins if I'd like to, and then I can use my white plates. Or I can just use black and white. It's very, very dramatic looking, and don't be afraid to use the black and white on your table because it's kind of a look that you'll see fairly often. Now, the tablecloth that I have on the table is a sheet. When I got it, I had to buy the top and the bottom sheet and the pillowcases, and they were all in a package. Now, you don't usually want to do that because you just want a flat sheet. You just want to put it on the table. But I didn't have the option, and I love this print because it doesn't matter what church I go into, it matches. And the churches always think I picked out the table just to go with their church. But it just goes with whatever you can see. It goes with every color that's in here. So what I did was I made the tablecloth for the table. I took the bottom fitted sheet. I cut off the fitted corners, and I had a nice big square piece of fabric. So I made a square cloth for the breakfast room table. Now, our breakfast room table is a round oak table, and I am giving you permission today to put a square cloth on a round table. It's okay. You can do that. So then I made the tablecloth with that. Well, then, guess what else? I had pillowcases left over. So I took the pillowcases, and I made the napkins to go with it out of the pillowcases. So what did I get? I got two tablecloths and 12 napkins just for the cost of the set. Now, we do something really fun around our table. We always want to have fun around our table. We have the little questions in a jar, and everybody goes around. They pick out a question. We talk about it, and we discuss the question. And the children and the grandchildren just love this. We have company over. They pick questions out of a jar. I mean, they love it. Well, we do something else. This is called a little love can. And I set it on the stove, and everything that we cook, we sprinkle love in it. And, of course, the grandchildren just love this. Now, did you see it come out? We'll shake some more. You didn't see it come out? Well, this can, it looks empty. In fact, it kind of does look empty. It is empty. Well, it isn't really, because it's filled with love. And we sprinkle love into everything that we cook. And sometimes we'll even set it on the table and we'll pass it around the table and we'll just shake it into each other's plate. And our little granddaughter, one day they were over for dinner and she picked it up and she started to shake it in her plate, and then all of a sudden she changed her mind and she just started shaking it all over. And then she just rubbed it in. Well, I have an auntie who passed away last February. And my uncle passed away 9 months prior to that. Now, this auntie has been, it's my mother's sister. She has been the most difficult person in my life. I mean, talk about, you know, taking the joy from your life. She tried to take all my life, the joy from me. It was like she has this critical spirit. And nothing was ever right. My hair is too dark. It's too light. It's too long. It's too short. My cheeks aren't pink enough. My lipstick's the wrong color. My dress is too long. It's not right. Nothing seemed to be right. I can remember I would send her books. Every time I wrote a book, I even dedicated a book to her. I know she never read it because she said to me one day, "Who buys your books? Who would buy your books? How do you write those books?" It just never seemed to come to her. Every time I gave her a gift, she would give it away to somebody else. Or she would take it back. Well, here she was, 88th birthday, and I decided this time I was going to do it different. I was going to make her a food basket. So I made everything, banana bread and muffins and all these wonderful things. I made all this wonderful stuff in this beautiful basket, and everything I sprinkled love into. I mean, I just doused it. I had to get 4 cans. I just doused it in. And then I was wrapping it all up, and I tied it real pretty in big cellophane and a great big bow, and I shredded the ribbon, and I mean, I did everything really. And then at the last minute, I thought, you know, I put so much love into this basket. I am just slip one of these little love cans in there. And so I did. And we were sitting at the table, a birthday party, 88th birthday, and everybody was sitting around the table. My uncle was sitting here at the head of the table. My auntie was sitting here, and we were all around the table. And she's opening her presents, and she comes to the basket, and she pulls it open, and she takes everything out, and she kind of says, "Doesn't make a big deal out of it, you know, that's nice." And then she picked up this love can, and she opened it up, and she looked at it, and she said, "Well, there's nothing in there." And I said, "Oh, yes, there is." I said, "In fact, there's a really cute story on the back." She can't see too well. So I said, "I'll read it to you a little bit later." And but I said, "You know what we do?" I said, "It's filled with love." And I said, "We put it around the table, and we pass it around. Everybody kind of shakes love into their plate." Well, at that moment, she grabs it out of my hand. She reaches over to my uncle, who's sitting here, and she shakes it on top of it. Do you know that she not only wanted to keep this can, but she wanted to know where she could get more so that she could give them to all of her friends? This is the only thing that ever touched my auntie's heart, was this little can of love. And there's a darling little story on the back of the can. You see, home is where the heart is. And the heart is what? The heart is filled with love. And we have to do creative things to fill some of those hearts with love. Because just like Barbara said, they want to steal our joy. They want to take the joy of the Lord away from us. And we're not going to let them do that. Well, these dishes, I bought at my little store, Pick and Save, and I bought them for 49 cents a piece. I bought 2 of every pattern. That day, on the way home, I bought a little blue and white gingham fabric. I made a tablecloth out of the blue and white fabric. I got some little white, yellow and white daisies, and I got some cute little yellow napkins, and I had the cutest little blue and white and yellow table setting. Now you say, "Well, there's not enough dishes to go around for everybody." Well, what do we do? We're going to add the white in with it, and we can do every one a white dish, and every other one we can do a blue dish. These are those fat paper clips, and you can use them as napkin rings. And they come in all different colors, and they're really fun to do. And you can let your guest take these home as a little memory maker. And every time they pull it out and they use it, they're going to remember the time that you invited them into your home. These are cookie cutters. And you can also use your cookie cutters. They come in all little cute little shapes. And you can use your cookie cutters as well as a napkin ring, and you can let them take that home. And every time they cut a little cookie, they're going to remember the time that they were in your home. Now, if you happen to get the tape or you happen to ever come to a holiday seminar, you're going to see something really special that I do with cookie cutters, that I make them Christ-centered. Now, here's another plate I bought at my favorite store, Pick and Save. And when I got them, I thought, I don't know what kind of a tablecloth I'm going to use with these dishes. So I went to my linen closet. This is where you want to be very careful, because you want to keep your sheets separate, the ones you put on the table and the ones you put on your bed. And I had bought this set of sheets, the top, the bottom, and the pillowcases, and they were $20. I bought them in an outlet. And I love the print, and I thought, well, someday I'll just give it as a gift, or I don't know what I'll do with it, but I liked it a lot. So I had it all, I hadn't used it or anything, it was all in the set. And I pulled it out, and I thought, I wonder if the pattern on those sheets, by chance, would go with these dishes. Well, I mean, it looks like they were painted to go with each other. So I took, again, the bottom fitted sheet, cut off the corners, and I made a nice square cloth. This was the bottom sheet, just a plain sheet. So I had a dining room tablecloth, and now I have the tablecloth for the breakfast room table. Then I had the pillowcases, and they were king-size pillowcases that looked like this. So I thought, what am I going to do? A strange-looking pillowcase. So then I took and I separated the colors, and I made napkins, and I made 6 napkins out of the little dark print, and I sewed a little eyelet around the lighter-colored napkins, and I made 6 napkins out of the lighter-colored print. And so for $20, I had 12 napkins and 2 tablecloths that all go with my dishes. Well, that was a wonderful bargain. Then I had this tablecloth. There's a sheet, and I found this sheet on sale, and I said, I wonder if they go with these dishes. They have the same colors that are in the dishes, but what does it do? It pulls out the blue pattern that is in the dishes. Then Mervyn's ran this on sale. I waited and waited for it to go on sale. Finally, it went on sale, and I bought this, and I said, I wonder if those dishes will go with that sheet. And look what it does. It brings out all the green that is in the pattern. And so with this simple pattern, I have been able to create lots and lots of table settings using that pattern of dishes. These are pewter plates that Bob bought me for Christmas one year. He paid $17 a piece. 2 weeks after the Christmas, he gave them to me. I just happened to be in my fun little store, Pick and Save. And I bought these for $1.79, and I bought these for 79 cents, and they had this size for $2.98. Now, this is real pewter. This isn't. But when you're setting a table, who knows what's real or isn't real? And even if they do know, they don't have the nerve to ask you anyway. In fact, you don't have to tell anybody what you pay for anything. Except you'll do what I do. You get all excited over all your bargains, and you start telling everybody what you pay. These were 98 cents a piece, cute little pewter candle holders. I bought 6 of them. You can put one in front of everybody's place around the table, and you have the cutest little table setting with all your little candles glowing. If you have a special plate, get it out and use it. Remember to use it often. If you don't have a You Are Special Today plate, then I encourage you to save up for one. Ask for one for Christmas or birthday or an anniversary. One of the most wonderful memories that we create in our home is because of this plate, and we have had our plate for over 20 years. Every time someone comes into our home, they are honored by eating off of the plate, whether they're company or whatever. And then I just started this tradition a year and a half ago, so it's never too late to start a tradition. I began to take pictures of the people who have eaten off of our plate. And I now have a little album of all the wonderful people that we have been able to honor and we have been able to share. And if we get the plate, the grandchildren get their plate more than one time, we take their picture more than one time, and we put right on there all the little memories that they have. Well, one day our grandson, incidentally, I have an album up here of pictures of our home. If any of you are interested later, I'll leave it up here and you can look at it. But our grandchildren were over for dinner one night, and Chad, at that time he was 7, he was helping me set the table. And as we were setting the table, I said, Chad, I said, who should we give the red plate to tonight? And he looked at me with those great big sanguine eyes, and he said, Grammy, he said, how about me? And I said, okay, we're going to give you the special plate. So we put the plate by his plate. And we sat down, we had our little prayer and our little blessing, and oh, we was all smiles. And then he said, I have a really good idea. He said, I think it would be very nice if everyone would go around the table and tell me why they think I'm special. Well, now we do everything that Chad says to do, so we did. And then, when we all got through, he said this, "Now, I want to tell you why I think I'm special." And I went, whoa, this kid's going to go somewhere someday. Do you know what? That I couldn't have done that when I was his age. I didn't even talk when I was his age. I was so bashful. And I know that in an audience like this, that there are many of you, if you were asked that question, why are you special, you would not know what to say. If I were to say, okay, we're going to take a little time and everybody stand up and tell me why you think you're special, you'd stand up and you'd walk right out the door. But I'm going to tell you tonight why you are special, so that you will always know, should you ever be put in a situation like that, you will always know. In fact, you will probably volunteer from now on to tell people why you are special. You see, women, you are special because you are a child of God. And don't ever forget that. In Psalm 139, he says, "He knew us and he formed us before we were in our mother's womb, and he has scheduled every day of our life." It is not by accident that you have come to this conference this weekend. It has been ordained by God for you to be here. He wants you to know him in a deeper way because you have been here. And then you are special to me, and I know to the staff and to the speakers that have been up here, and Babby, our music, because you have a teachable spirit. You want to grow and you want to learn. You would have not come to a conference like this if it not had been for the fact that you have a teachable spirit and you want to be taught. Now, another beautiful way of sharing hospitality is through our love basket. And our love basket is for those very special times when we want to say, "I love you," in a very special way. Our basket is just not any kind of an ordinary basket. It's a heart-shaped love basket. The heart says many things. First of all, the heart says love. When we look at a heart, we think about love. When I think about love, I think about how God loved me. That he loved me so much that he gave me his very own son. It was a sacrificial gift of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me. And when I love him and I believe in him and I receive him into my heart, I have eternal life. And as I mentioned earlier, when we die, it's merely a change of address. So the heart basket says something very, very special. In our heart basket, we're going to share our love. And we're going to line our basket with a beautiful little tablecloth. I bought this. This is just a lace paneled curtain that I bought for $5.98 at Pick and Save. And I line my little basket with that. I'm going to put in two glasses, two pretty nice tall stem glasses. And then I'm going to take in my glasses and I'm going to fluff in there two napkins, one to use on my lap and one to use as a napkin. And I'm going to fluff those right into our glasses. It represents the love that is going to flow from our basket. So we don't want a basket that has a lid on it. We're not going to close our love in. We're going to allow the love to flow from our basket. Then we're going to put in a nice tall candle holder. And we want our candle holder to stand up nice and tall in our basket, again representing the love that's going to flow from the basket. Then we're going to put in some flowers, and we want to do something very pretty. You don't have to do anything real big and fancy. You could just put in a few little daisies, a little baby's breath, one little rose, whatever. But we're going to put together a beautiful little love basket. Now, what are we going to put in our basket? We're going to put in our food that we're going to share our basket with. Now, I'm going to tell you about the most dramatic basket, love basket, that Bob and I have ever had. And I encourage you, women, if you have a husband, the first love basket you make is for your husband. Well, Bob was just ready to close down his mobile home company. We were in a lot of stress and turmoil and finances and all kinds of things. And I thought, oh, I want to do something special for Bob. Now, we have had love baskets all over the place, many of them. He's made them for me. I've made them for him. We've gone all over the place with these love baskets. But this one was special. I called him up at the office one morning. I said, "Honey, guess what?" I said, "I've saved a little bit of extra money. I want to surprise you. I'm going to take you out to dinner tonight. I don't want to tell you where we're going. It's going to be a great big surprise." He got so excited. I later found out that he did not get excited because we were going out for dinner. He got excited because I was actually able to save some money. But what I decided to do was to make Bob a love basket. I was going to put his favorite food in the basket. Bob comes from Texas. He loves southern fried chicken and black-eyed peas and cornbread and all those kind of things. So that's what I did. I cooked all his favorite food. I did it in the morning because we were going to put it in a love basket. I didn't want the house to smell from food, and I thought to myself, I know what I'm going to do. At that time, we were living in a two-story house. Our bedroom was upstairs. We had glass, little glass sliding doors, a little view, a little deck, and I thought, tablecloth on the table, I had the candle, I had the flowers, I had the glasses, I had the memory plate next to his plate, I had the candle on the nightstand, I had flowers on the nightstand, I had the music tuned into Mellow Dinner Music. I mean, I had created this beautiful little restaurant right there in our bedroom. Now, you moms of little ones who are here tonight, I know what you're thinking. You're going, oh, sure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a love basket for my husband with all these little monkeys running around the house. You've got to plan it ahead. You ask a friend or a neighbor, maybe somebody that you know here today, and you say to them, you know, on Saturday night, I'm going to make my husband a love basket. Would you mind taking the children for me for a couple of hours? A couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, maybe till they're 21. And then when you make a love basket for your husband, I'll take the children for you. So you make this little trade. So everything's all set. I have all the food in the basket. Everything's ready. The bedroom's all set. Looks beautiful. And Bob comes in from work. And I run into the kitchen, I picked up the basket, I handed it to him, and I said, follow me. So up the stairs we go. Well, by now, I have the music going, I have the candles lit, I have the room all sprayed with potpourri. I mean, everything's just beautiful. And he walks in, and he opens up that door, and he takes the basket, and he sets it down on the table, and he sees this beautiful little restaurant that I had created right there in our bedroom. And he takes out his very favorite food. And we sat there, and we enjoyed that beautiful little love dinner together. And I didn't have to say to him, you know, Bob, I slaved all morning in the kitchen for you, lugged this heavy card table all the way up these stairs. What did he know? He knew that he was my Bob, my man, my Mr. Wonderful, my Prince Charming. I'll never forget, we were at a seminar, and I was right at this point, and this lady stood up. And she said, Emily, I want to tell you something. I've been to your seminars before. I go home, I do everything just exactly like you say to do them. She said, I went home and I made my husband a love basket, and she said it didn't work. I said, what do you mean it didn't work? She said, well, I did everything just like you said to do it. I made his favorite dinner, I put it in a basket, he came home from work, I handed him the basket, I said, follow me, we went into our bedroom, and she says, you know what? We never got around to eating our dinner. So I said, well, if plan A fails, you move right into plan B. Your love baskets for those very wonderful times when you're going to create a beautiful memory. You say, I don't have a husband to make a love basket for. I'm a single parent. But you have children. Why not put together a beautiful basket as this? Put hot dogs to roast or peanut butter sandwiches and create a memory. Because things happen when women care. And when we begin to care, we begin to have the spirit of loveliness. And one mother did it for her 7-year-old, and she said, he's 9 now, and he's still talking about the love basket mommy made just for me. You see, women, when we begin to care, things begin to happen. The heart of the home begins with us. It begins with the relationship, first of all, that we have with the Messiah, with God Almighty himself. And when we begin to care for God, then God begins to instill in us that beautiful spirit of loveliness. Matthew 6:33 says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. And when we seek him first, God gave us a promise, and he says, I'm going to add all of these things unto you. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the beautiful music and for Barbara's testimony again and the joy that she brings to others. Father, thank you for the strings that we heard, the melodies coming from heaven. It sounds as if it does. And thank you for the drama of this live, living drama that this family is portraying through their life, all because of a mighty God. And Father, I pray for these women that we, as we are growing up in Jesus, that we will be women who care. And as we begin to care, things begin to happen, And God, I pray that we will have the spirit of loveliness, but more than that, the spirit of godliness. In Jesus' name, amen.